these four. We still don't know what's going to happen.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, Sana.
How are you?
I'm fine. I kind of got distracted. The time got away with me.
Not a problem, but you're the only one.
Oh. Okay.
So we're going to give it a few more minutes. Just a quick comment. I don't know why you're, I mean, I understand you, never mind. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Jasmine?
Good. Glad to be back.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
I'm going to mute.
Anabakoa. Gedulat Yemincha. Tatir. Serra. Aleph Bet Gimel Yutah Tzadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha Sag Venu. Tacharenu Nora. Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehutha, Kiva Vachamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yudkav Shin. The letters of the month of Cheshvan, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, and the Nun that created the constellation Akrav, the astrological sign of Scorpio. Together, the Dalet and the Nun spell the Hebrew word Din, which means judgment. Barhem Tacharem, Rakame Sidkata. Tamidamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Bero Tucha Na'el Adatecha Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatecha Yitgimalamet Pezayim Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatiakatenu Yodea Ta'alumot Shin Kufab Sadiyutta. We're now going to read the verses that connect us to the energy of this year and previous years. And we're going to start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud kutshabarechu ishkintei b'chilu urchimu b'chilu urchimu urchimu urchilu v'yakta l'Shem Yud hei b'vav hei Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. And as I forgot to mention, we brought the energy of creation into our space. So we're now going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy in order to separate between the positive and the negative aspects of that creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav chesed v'emet, No se chesed la lafim, no se awon vahesha, vechata'avinake. And now we will connect to the verses that we speak daily. The first of two verses that connect to the energy of 5777, the year of the goat, is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor o yevai chinam. This, when we take the first letter of the five words of this verse, we can parse it into three Hebrew words. Sats ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And the final letters of these five words can be permutated into two words, dir and yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. Also the year Joshua, the verse Joshua chapter 23 verse 8 has the spelling of the name of the year with an ELS of seven letters. And that's Kim Badonai Elohechem Tidabaku Kaasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazer. And now for the year 5776, where we also have two verses. The first of which is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayulimat velo yaklu lehashit et kol haolot vayechaskum achechem halevim ad kelot hamlacha. Yad yitkadshu ha-kohanim, ki ha-levim yishre levav leitkadesh me ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai ohe wahe la lahe. Wa wa wa, yo la yo, ala me, hey hey hey, aka a re ka ha. The second of the verses that connect to this year is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai, yo hey wa hey, ade ad. Ki b'yayohe Adonaiyohe wahe tzur olamim. The year 5775 has three verses, starting with Job chapter 7 verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiya. Asher yitchabe sham vishavtem elai el nachon. Vihalakti itchem vichayayim yeshno. Baretz vichipasti. O to b'kol alfei Yehuda. Job chapter 20 verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayom. And for the year 5774, one verse. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Wasamti makom leami li Israel Untati Vishakam. Ta ta vilo yurgas, od vilo yosifu. Vene avla la anoto, ka asher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar, connecting to the energy of certainty, is Parsha Yitro, Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar. Tane nan de kucha, Barichu koma de aved, the ela witata, Kolai u kishot biovada, Pikshot, Belet lach mila bialma, Divae barnash, Badachia leia. Minea ulanhaga, Beya kalana, Dehaku ovada, Dikshot inun, Wikola itsteri, Be alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And now we will read the names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, which is the 8th of Cheshvan, starting tonight and tomorrow. Rabbeinu Yonah ben Avraham Havgarondi, he was the author of a famous book, Sha'arei Teshuvah, The Gates of Repentance. Rabbi Menachem Nachum Chachasid Kaplan is Nachumke of Harodna. He came from Lithuania. Rabbi Yaakov Rosenheim. Rabbi Meir of Narbonne. He was the Hamilil. Mili. Rabbi Mishulam Shaltiel and Rabbi Moshe Yosef HaKohen Tawil. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Tonight's class is the first class in the Talmud Esser Sefirot, the 10 luminous emanations. And we've read the introduction. It's been a while since we've done that, but we've read the introduction, and so you will find the handout in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 10, the second column from the left, where it says 10 luminous emanations. When you open that up, scroll down to class number 16. And that will open up to where we will start to read, because the book, or the Sefer, 10 Luminous Emanations, is a rearrangement of the Arizal's teachings as recorded by Rabbi Chaim Vital in the Sefer Etz Chaim, which is a famous study guide for the Mekubalim. And that book was written by Rabbi Chaim Vital, but then after his death, his son edited and rearranged and did whatever. According to legend, the Arizal told Rabbi Chaim Vital that he would reincarnate in order to make the teachings more readable and understandable. The students of Rabbi Ashlag have taught that Rabbi Ashlag was that reincarnation, and that this sefer, which consists of 16 sections or chapters, is the effect of an ibur of the Arizal into Rabbi Ashlag. This English translation is based on the readings from the B'nai Baruch website. In my opinion, the translation is not perfect, yet it is what is available to the English-speaking public. The Esser Sefirot by Rabbi Ashlag is a reordering of the verses in the Etz Chaim by Rabbi Chaim Vital, who wrote the teachings of the Arizal. Rabbi Ashlag reordered the verses to make it easier for us in our generation to understand it. I will bold the verses from the Etz Chaim and use regular font for the English translation of Rabbi Ashlag's commentary. And I will identify my own commentary specifically. The translation uses identifying numbers to relate a concept or word definition to different sections of the writings. Rabbi Ashlag's commentary is identified as Or Panimi, or inner light, and there is a deeper commentary as well. These identifying numbers help the student to follow the concept through all of the sections. I will define these words as we go along in an incomplete manner, just sufficient to start the process of understanding. Yet as one reads further, the understanding will grow as to the definitions of the concepts. Do not let this bother you. Kabbalistic writings are meant to be read a number of times, as the light within the writing helps the student break the klipot that keep him or her separated from full enlightenment. This first section, or the first chapter, explains the issue of Tzimtzum Aleph. Most Kabbalah students do not know that there are two Tzimtzums. We're discussing Tzimtzum Aleph here. When the Or En Sof became restricted in order to emanate the Net Etzalim, and I am adding that Ne'etzalim means creations, and create the creatures containing five issues. Before the Tzimtzum and so filled the entire reality. Two, the reason for creation was the revelation of his names and appellations. Three, the Tzimtzum of the Or around the middle point. Four, the Halal that remained after the Tzimtzum was a goal. I'm not defining these words yet. Because Or and Sof was even, the Tzimtzum was also even. This is the meaning of the Igul. My commentary. In the translation into English, there are many Hebrew words that need two types of translation. One is the simple meaning in the physical world, and the other is a spiritual definition. Many times these definitions are further down the page. Many times they are left undefined and just have a transliteration in the reading or the writing. I will try to help with these issues as they arise. Definitions. Tzimtzum is the term that the Arizal uses to express the creator's withdrawal into him, her, or it, self. That leaves a space for mankind to assist in the creation by correcting him or herself. Spiritually, it creates the first paradox, as how can the Creator withdraw into him or her or itself and still remain unchanged? Ein Sof is without end. Spiritually, this refers to the Creator of phase one of the four phases. Phase one is part of the line, which we will define later, while the endless world or Ein Sof is part of the circle. Ein Sof has continuity, while the line has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Or translates as light. The Kabbalists refer to God as light, since physical light has an essence of complete sharing, with no diminishment of itself. Halal, this word would lead to less confusion if it was spelled in the transliteration as halal. It means space, a cavity, a void, a vacuum. Chizality, hollow, and a socket. The spiritual ideal of halal is the space or the cavity, the void, the vacuum created by the Tzimtzum. A goal is a difficult word to translate. It is similar to the Aramaic word tam, which translates as simple or complete. Its spiritual meaning is complete. One definition which is not complete is something that has no discernment or degrees. Everything is the same. This does not imply equal, just no differences. Sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? Igul. This is another word difficult to translate. The shoresh of this word is wave. When spelled without the vav, it means to drop or a droplet. How it applies will be defined below. Here it is being used to imply a wave as opposed to a particle. This is similar to the scientific issue of the question, is light a wave or a particle? This question has not been answered in science as of yet. The Kabbalists define it as the Keter. Sometimes it's light and sometimes a vessel. Returning to the actual translation. Does anybody have any questions? Before the Tzimtzum, Ein Sof filled the entire reality. Number one, know that before the Ne'etzalim, the potential creations is what I'm adding, were emanated and the creatures created, an upper simple or upper simple light had filled the entire reality. There was no vacant place, such as empty avir and a halal, but everything was filled with that simple, boundless or. Now, all of those numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, are relating to throughout the writings in this translation. So I'm not mentioning them. I'm just reminding you. Continuing, it did not have a behina of Rosh or Sof, beginning or end, but it was all one simple or, completely even, called Or and Sof, the light of the endless world. Now here is a Or Panimi. This is Rabbi Ashlag's commentary. Bear in mind that the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is founded on spiritual matters that do not take up time or space, They are not subject to change or absence, and all the changes that are spoken of in this wisdom do not imply that the first form becomes absence and is replaced by a different form. The above change rather implies an additional form. While the first does not move from its place, as absence and change are physical conducts. It is difficult for the novice, for they perceive matters by means of physical boundaries of time, space, change, exchange. However, the authors only use those as signs to point to their upper roots. For this reason, I will make an effort to give every word its spiritual identity, detached of space, time, and change. It is upon the readers to memorize the meaning of these words thoroughly, for it is impossible to repeat them every time. My commentary. It is recommended that the student of Kabbalah reread these first few paragraphs anytime he sits down with a new book of Kabbalah. It is also recommended by Rabbi Ashlag in many places to refrain as much as possible from using two-dimensional charts, graphs, or glyphs, or other pictures, as that tends to distort the understanding of the student. Give the process of learning, follow its natural course, which is usually not an immediate understanding. Number one, the issue of spiritual time is explained thoroughly in Chapter 9, Item 33 of a section of the Talmud Esther Sefirot called Histaklut Pnimit. My commentary. Time in all levels, spiritual and physical, refers to the distance between cause and effect. Spiritual time is different than physical time, and that will be explained in Chapter 9 of the Esther Sefirot. As I've said above, there are 16 chapters or sections, and they are discussing the evolution, not the revolution, even as the Big Bang sounds like a revolutionary event, from the end self to the physical world. This is a long and involved process that includes one thought and many steps. The thought is the thought of creation. Reveal me, please. The steps are the four phases expanded many times. Please feel free to stop me at any time with a question. Number two, it refers to the light, the or, that expands from Atzmut. The light that expands from the essence of the Creator. Know that all the names and appellations that appear in the wisdom of Kabbalah are not at all in the Atzmut of the Creator, but only in the Or that expands from His Atzmut. However, we cannot utter even a single word regarding His Atzmut. For the rule is that anything we do not attain, we do not know its name. Remember that, and you will not fail. Number three, it is seemingly perplexing, for it speaks of the time before the worlds, the Olamot, were created. Thus, which reality exists here? That the Or Elyon should fill, the upper light should fill, The thing is that the olamot, the worlds, and the nishamot, the souls that exist and that are destined to be created, with all their incidents, until the end of their correction, are all included in the En Sof, in their full measure of glory. Thus, there are two rudiments we should discern in reality before us. They are fixed and exist in the En Sof with their full measure and glory. How they are arranged and hang down and innovate before us after the Tzimtzum Aleph in the five Olamot, the Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. The Rav writes that the Or Elyon that extends from his Atzmut, the upper light that extends from his essence, had filled the entire reality, meaning the entire reality of the first rudiment, relating to their existence in En Sof, before the Tzimtzum. He tells us that the Or Elyon, the upper light, filled them entirely, until they had no vacant place left where correction and perfection could be added whatsoever. My commentary. The endless world includes everything and nothing. It includes everything in potential, which is what the previous paragraph is describing. It includes nothing in actuality, since there is only light fulfilling vessel, with no discernment, no grade, or difference within or between light and vessel in the En Sof. Light and vessel are one. Spiritually, an amazing paradox, which we are incapable of understanding, according to Rabbi Ashlag. Although from time to time we can experience aspects of this unity, contemplate this distinction between understanding and experiencing many times during your studies. This contemplation will help your spiritual growth to unify experience and understanding. Number four. It means that before the Olamot, the worlds, were created, there was only En Sof. There was not a vacant place, meaning a place of dearth, of emptiness, that would qualify for corrections, because the Or Elyon, the upper light, filled that place. It left no room for the Taktonim, the potential energies, to distinguish themselves and add something to his completeness. Because of the Tzimtzum, there came about a wanting and a vacant place for the corrections. However, do not be mistaken to think that the book speaks of a corporal place. I am reiterating, it is not a physical space. Contemplate what this vacant place looked like to you. If you see anything close to resembling physical space, start your contemplation over. Number five. This does not refer to corporal air whatsoever. But there is a spiritual light, spiritual or, that is called by the name Avir, which is translates as air. There are two behinot, there are two features of this or in each complete partsuf. There is Or Chachma, the light of wisdom, and Or de Chasadim, the light of loving kindness. Or Chachma is the Atzmut, the essence of the Partsuf, meaning its vitality. or chasadim only operates as a clothing, a light over the light of Chachma in the Partsuf. Since Or Chachma cannot permeate the Partsuf if it does not wear the Or Chasadim first. However, sometimes when the Partsufim are in Katnu, smallness, they do not have more than Or Chasadim. You should know then that Or Chasadim is called Avir, or Ruach, when it is by itself. Without Or Dehachma, it is called empty Avir, meaning empty of Or Chachma. Then it waits for Or Chachma to clothe it and fulfill it. And I am adding, Or Chachma does not clothe Or Chasadim, the opposite occurs. Or Chachma does fulfill Or Chasadim, and Or Chasadim is said to be a garment for Or Chachma. It is time for you to realize that Or Chachma and Or Chasadim are vessels, not light. And how can that be? The answer is relativity. The Rav, and when he uses the word Rav, Rabbi Ashlag is saying, the Ari. The Rav tells us that before the Olamotes were created, meaning in En Sof, such empty Avir did not exist in reality at all, because there was not any emptiness, there was not any dearth there. And I am explaining that dearth means lack. Number 6. To understand that word, you must know the essence of a spiritual kli, a spiritual vessel. Since the ne'etzal, the essence, receives its sustenance from the ma'atzil, it necessarily implies that it has a ratzon, a desire, and a yearning to receive that shefa from him. Know that the amount of the ratzon, the desire and yearning, is the entire substance that exists in the creatures, the ne'etzal. Thus, everything that exists in the ne'etzal, it is not that substance, no longer relates to its substance, but to the shefa that it receives from the ma'atzil, from the Creator. Furthermore, this substance determines the gadlut, and I am explaining it determines the greatness and the level of each ne'etzal, each creature, each partsuf, and each sefirah. The hitpashtut of the Or Elyon from the ma'atzil is certainly immeasurable, but it is the ne'etzal that limits the shefa, for it receives no more and no less than its measure of desire to receive. This is the criterion in spirituality, because there is no coercion there. It depends entirely on the ratzon, on the desire. For that reason, we call this will to receive the vessel of reception of the ne'etzal. It is regarded as its substance, and the reason that it stopped being regarded as a matzil and was denominated as a ne'etzal. The ne'etzal is defined by a substance that does not exist in the ma'atzil whatsoever, for there is absolutely no will to receive in the ma'atzil, because from whom would he receive? My commentary. Try to imagine the endless world as a cup or a glass made of frozen water. Now fill the cup or the glass with cold water that has frozen into ice. Disregard the change in dimension from water to ice. The cup is completely filled there. There is no space not filled with ice. Now let us focus on an atom, or better yet, an electron that is at the limit of the ice and not yet part of the glass. Now answer the question, is that electron light or vessel? Relative to the endless world, when the glass captures the electron, has it changed from light to vessel or back again? This is what the above paragraph is trying to teach us. Returning to the translation. Now we will explain how there are 4 degrees in this substance, from smallness to largeness to godliness of reception, the 4th degree being the godliness of the reception, is complete only and in the end so. Before the worlds were created, it is the only one that was subject to the tzimtzum, and we will clarify henceforth that it was emptied of every shefa that she had from the Ein Sof and remained a vacant halal. This is what the Rav means when he says that before the Olam were created, meaning in the Ein Sof, this vacant halal did not exist. Number 7. This means that there is nothing that the lower ones can add to by means of their actions. Number 8. The terms Rosh and Sof will be explained below. My commentary, section 7, refers to the simple light, and this will help you understand section 7. Number 9, meaning without discriminating small and great, everything is equal, is even. Number 10, where there is no zachut, and I am adding spiritually for the time being, and avdiut, physicality for the time being, by which the degrees are set, these discriminations were established only with the renewal of the Tzimtzum. And I am adding, there are 2 major Tzimtzum with different consciousness that will be discussed in the evolutionary process. For now, it is sufficient to just know this information. Section 20, or word 20. We should ask, since we have no attainment in the endless, how then do we know him by name? After all, each name designates the attainment that we attain in him. According to the definition of that name, we cannot excuse ourselves by saying that the name merely points to the negation of attainment, for then we should have named him unattainable. The thing is that name indicates the entire difference between Ein Sof and all of the worlds beneath it. The Tzimtzum Aleph took place after Ein Sof. Thus, in every place this force awakens, it restricts the light, and that ends the Heara in that place. And I am adding that Heara means an impression. This is a deep concept that will take a lot of understanding. One metaphor is the impression made on a piece of paper by the ink left on that paper from a rubber stamp. Is the impression on the paper the same as the signature of the person assuming the rubber stamp is of a signature. Hence, any sof and siyum in any heara, in any part suf, comes solely from the tzimtzum. Moreover, all the beings and their various fillings in the world come about and are innovated because of that sof and that siyum. It is called en sof because the tzimtzum does not apply there, indicating that there isn't any ending there whatsoever. With that, we can deduce that this or is pashut and completely even, for one depends on the other. My commentary. The words from the Hebrew and Aramaic meanings of even, simple, complete, and order have different meaning, yet come from the same concept in spirituality. In the endless, there is no end. Therefore, there is no change. Therefore, there is only evenness, which is simple, which is complete, which is perfect. Everything that comes from the Ein Sof is in a limited state in comparison to its state in the Ein Sof. It is no longer perfect and therefore has some sort of lack. These are the words. They are not perfect yet. They were perfect and are no longer perfect. Why? Due to the tzimtzum. Who created the tzimtzum? The vessel. The Creator does not bring about pain and suffering, since all of pain and suffering comes from the lack created by the tzimtzum. You are the cause of your own lack. Contemplate this. Learn to live with this knowledge and learn to create perfection by restoring the fulfillment to the desires. Not your desires, but the desires of others. Do not worry about your desires, since you will be fulfilled by others. That's the end of the section. It's the end of the class. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to reread this section, and perhaps we'll have questions next week. Write your questions down, because I guarantee you, you will forget them. I hope you all have a beautiful evening. I'm not going to explain our classes, because I really have a desire to get back to see what's happening in the election. Shalom to all.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.